If anyone is thirsty, let that one come to me. You hear that? Who's the invitation to? Only the special chosen? Only those who were predestined to go to heaven? The language is so clear, you have to cheat to make it say anything else. And people do. But it's so clear, your children can read it and understand it.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts as we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse through the Bible. Jesus promises living water as our study of John continues in chapter 7, verse 37. Here's Pastor Bob.
The last day... Verse 37, John chapter 7. In the last day, the great day of the feast. In other words, the biggest day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If any individual thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believeth on me," he or she, he's not meaning only males. He's talking about any individual, guy or girl. "If any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." But this, John puts some commentary to help me and you understand. But this he spoke of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost, was not yet given because Jesus has not been glorified. He hasn't died and risen again. So the Holy Spirit will be given as part of the new covenant in his blood, right? So on the last day, the great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, remember that's the feast they're at, each and every day during the feast, the priests would carry water from the pool of Siloam, usually, to the altar there in the tabernacle area of burnt offerings. And they would pour that water into a beautiful silver bowl dish. And they would sing while they were walking, while they would carry the water, and the people would walk along, and the rows would be lined with people, and the people would sing along with them as they walk, as they're taking the water from the pool over to the temple area to pour it into that basin. By the altar of burnt offering, the people would sing Isaiah chapter 12, verse 3. "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." That is so cool. It's amazing to me how so many pastors and teachers will say there's really not much in the Old Testament for the true Christian. We're really just New Testament kind of people. You miss so much if you do not spend time in the entire Word of God. You just miss it. Because what a song to be able to sing. "Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of salvation." It's symbolic of being cleansed. It's symbolic of being washed. And the water is poured out by the what? Right there at the altar of burnt offering, you know, right on the where the sacrifice was to be made. It was a daily ritual for the 7 days. Remember, there the 7 day, the Feast of Booths or Tabernacles was to help them to remember the 40 years in the wilderness, where they actually lived in little tents or little makeshift booths, and then they would pack up and they would move on. 40 years they lived that way, and God took care of them. And if you recall, there was a rock that Moses would, the first time he struck the rock, and from then on he would speak, and out of the rock would come water, fresh living water, right? And that's what they're seeing. Therefore, with joy, you shall draw water out of the wells of salvation. It's all symbolic to show you what Jesus Christ is going to do. Show you that you're washed and you're cleansed. The daily ritual of Israel reminded them not just of the 40 years, but especially the water from that rock that never failed. But God said to Moses, strictly, you strike the rock the first time, once. From then on, you speak to the rock and water will come out. The rock, we know, is Jesus Christ. How do we know it? Because we have the New Testament. We have 1 Corinthians. Let me read to you 1 Corinthians 10:4. Talking about all them going through the wilderness, and all of the children of Israel did drink the same spiritual drink. Spiritual drink? They were drinking real water. But you get it? It's the spiritual context. He says they drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Messiah. So why did God say only strike that rock once, and from then on, for the rest of the 40 years, speak to the rock? Because God promised that his son, that the Messiah, would only be struck one time. He would only suffer one time for all eternity, one time for all sin. From then on, the water flows. And why could Moses not enter into the promised land? He lost his temper. Praise God, you and I have never done that. But Moses did. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired of the people. They kept, we're going to die. Look, you've had water every day. Why are you worried now, because it's a little hotter, that you're not going to have water? He goes, you guys make me mad. So he struck the rock again. What did God say? Strike it once. From then on, speak to the rock. So God, basically, I'm going to paraphrase so you understand it. God says, Mo, you misrepresented me in front of the people. What do you mean I misrepresented? You were mad at the people. I wasn't. You were frustrated at the people. I'm not. You misrepresented me. Because you misrepresented me, you will not enter into the promised land. He had to go on home. He got called in before it was time to quit playing. So why are we talking about this? Because the daily ritual during the 7 days, right here that you're reading about in what, verse 37? In the last day of the feast. It was done every day, but this day, the feast is now just about finished. Jesus speaks up. If anyone thirsts, you hear that? Let me say it in American. If anyone at all of the millions that are here, if anyone is thirsty, let that one come to me. You hear that? Who's the invitation to? Only the special chosen? Only those who were predestined to go to heaven? The language is so clear, you have to cheat to make it say anything else. And people do. But it's so clear, your children can read it and understand it. And in American, if anyone is thirsty, any man, any woman, anybody thirsty, let that one come to me. And Jesus is not speaking about needing a drink of cold water, right? He's speaking spiritually. That's how he does this. He's speaking spiritually. What does Paul say? I'll read it again. And they did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank, 1 Corinthians 10:4, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And so Jesus said, come to me now. If anyone is thirsty, you come to me. Not speaking about a drink of water, speaking about spiritual life, speaking about our hearts, the real us. Not just these bodies. You drink regular old water, and it doesn't get hot in Idaho, but in some states it'll get hot, and you actually get thirsty again. But he's promising here that won't happen if you drink the spiritual water. but you have to go to him and get it. Notice when Jesus says these words clearly, he puts a condition to it. See the condition? There's a condition to it. If anyone is thirsty, let them come. Spiritually thirsty. What does that mean? Well, let's put it in our common language. If anyone is spiritually in need. See, here's the deal. If I don't know that I'm a sinner, if I don't know that I'm a sinner, and I think I'm doing pretty good, you know, I'm not perfect, but I'm a pretty good guy, okay? Then here's the deal. If I don't know that I'm a sinner, I'm not in need. True? I'm not in any kind of need, certainly not desperate need. If anyone out there is spiritually dry, you come to me. I'll give you a drink. Drink of that living water. If I don't realize I'm lost, I won't worry about somebody coming to find me. True? Yeah. Jesus will save you immediately if you recognize your need for him. Because you'll say, I'm thirsty. I'm a sinner. I need help. Lord, save me. Help me. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when you look to Jesus. And he says, I'm right here. Come on. Out of his belly or her belly shall flow rivers of living water. If you look at the language and you translate it literally into American, out of his belly shall gush torrents of living water. Once the Holy Spirit is in your life, it flows, the Holy Spirit and that water flows to others. Everybody gets shook up in this life. You get bumped around and knocked. And we're full of something. Every one of us is. Well, that's another Bible study. But the truth is, when someone hits you, bumps you because you're tossed around in this life, something from you spills onto them. What is it? Bitterness, jealousy, hatred, anger, ugly, or is it Holy Spirit? When you bump us around, should be knocking us around, and Holy Spirit should be pouring out. True? Deep inside, even when you're not comfortable with what's happening around you, there is a peace in there that you know God has given you eternal life. You can't feel it always, but you know it by faith. It's there. That's not going anywhere. No matter how shaky your life gets, that's not going anywhere. And the Spirit satisfies our soul and satisfies our need for God and provides regeneration, new life, right? Meaning a new spiritual life. He gives guidance. He gives us the power to trust and obey, and he gives us the power to serve. That is what the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Many of the people, therefore, when Jesus said all these things, many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, they said, of a truth, this is the prophet. This has got to be the Messiah that Moses was talking about. Got to be. Others said, this is the Messiah himself specifically. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, out of the town of Bethlehem where David was? So there was a division, an argument. They separated among the people because of Jesus. They're fighting about it. We do that as Christians even. We start to argue over scripture and we're not understanding what the scripture says. And we can't be ignorant of this. We can't just begin to try and argue with each other about the word of God. We can discuss it. We can talk about it. But we're not going to fight about it because there's always more to learn. But listen to the people. Jesus had just given an amazing invitation to everyone. No one was excluded, and no one was left out. Anyone with the will to humble themselves and admit their need can come to Jesus and freely be given eternal life. That's what he just said. That's what they heard. What are they talking about? The people are still confused about God's word. They discuss it among themselves. Have you been to a Bible study ever where they sit down, whether in a circle or chairs or whatever, and then they'll read a verse and they'll say, Bill, what do you think of that? What does that mean to you? And then Bill will pipe up and say, I think it means God hates all turkeys. Why do you say that? And then we'll discuss it. Do you know what? That's not a Bible study. You know what that is? And this is going to offend everybody, please. It's sharing our ignorance, isn't it? It's sharing our opinion. And is your opinion important? Well, to you. My opinion is important to me, but that's about it. It goes no further than that. When you're in a Bible study like that, God bless you, but I'm telling you right now, you're in trouble because you're going to learn some things there that have nothing to do with what the Word of God says, but that's what the people think it means because they like that and someone else told them that or they read it in a book. And so we don't want to get into a study where someone is giving you, everybody puts in their two cents. Because I don't need to share my ignorance with you. If I haven't studied it and I don't know, I'll go, I'm not sure. I'll go check. It's better. I've told you about this, Liberty Baptist Church. It's not all Baptist church, but the one that we were at, we went to a Baptist church just to visit. I wanted to see what it was like. And they have adult Sunday school. All Baptists do the, you can't go to heaven without adult Sunday school. You go to church, you got to go to adult Sunday school. Usually adult Sunday school first and then church. But either way. So we're in the adult Sunday school class, and there, and then Jesus is, there's demons come running at him, and he casts those demons out, and they go into a herd of swine. And 2,000 swine go off a cliff, and they die. And so the leader of the Bible study says, now, let's discuss this. And he said, here's the question. Does God hate pigs? And I thought it was a joke, and so I pipe right up. Now, I'm new. I'm not a part of the inner. I don't know how to be Baptist, so I didn't know. So I said, oh, yeah, God hates all pigs. Yeah, except the part with bacon. And then he likes that, even though it's unclean. And they look at me like, the elders, the ones you could tell that always answer, they pipe up. Yeah, well, they are unclean, and because they're unclean, clearly God doesn't like them. And yes, he hates pigs. And we spent nearly 40 minutes talking about whether God hated pigs. They missed everything that was in there about the grace and the mercy and the power of God. And I'm telling you, that's not the only Bible study like that going on in America today. So the people are confused. So they discuss it among themselves. They aren't rightly dividing the word. Clearly, they don't know what the Bible says. All they've got is the Old Testament, and they don't know what the Old Testament says. They pull out a part, and the Old Testament does mention something, and they bring that up, but they don't know how to work it. They've never studied it. It's just obviously someone told them about Bethlehem. Well, that's where David comes from, so Christ has to come out of Bethlehem. So he can't be the Messiah because he comes from Nazareth, right? I mean, well, duh. There was a division. There always is. When you get into a Bible study where people start to discuss their own ideas, you're guaranteed to have one or two that have some pretty positive ideas. They know they're right, and you're going to argue with them. There's going to be an argument. You're not studying the Bible anymore. You're trying to defend this or trying to get into that. Be careful. Just be careful. There's nothing wrong with discussing it, but you need to discuss it with understanding, right? So they're confused. They don't know what this all means. They said he can't be the Messiah. He's coming out of the seed of David. He has to come from Bethlehem. Well, they don't know Jesus was born in Bethlehem, do they? No, they don't know that. They just know he lives up there in Nazareth somewhere. He's a Galilean, right? Many people they believed that Jesus was that prophet that Moses had talked about. You go back there and you can start in Exodus and read on through, and you'll see that prophecy. God promises that prophet, the one that the Lord would send, the Messiah. But others are quoting scriptures, and basically they say this guy's a Nazarene, he's from Nazareth, and scriptures say Messiah has to come from Bethlehem, so Jesus cannot be Messiah. Is it possible for him to be the Messiah? Every one of us knows, yes, it is, because we've got the scriptures. They're only picking and choosing. Now, keep this in mind. The soldiers had been sent to arrest him. They never touched him yet. They're going to be headed back to the chief priest soon, but they haven't touched Jesus yet. And there's this division. Now, look at verse 44. Some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Remember, the soldiers are there. They're supposed to arrest him, but nobody yet has even laid a finger on him. Then the soldiers came, verse 45, to the chief priests. They returned to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said to them, "Why have you not brought him? We sent you to arrest him. Where is he?" And the officer says something that I love. "Never man spake like this man." An American, we never heard anybody talk like this before. We've never heard anything like, The officers then answered the Pharisees, "Are you also fooled? Are you so dumb as to believe like the people believe he's the Messiah? Are you crazy? You should be ashamed of yourselves. Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him?" Look what they used to prove that Jesus is the Messiah. Well, he might be. Well, look at us. Look at the smart people. Look at the guys who know their Bible. Do any of us believe in it? No. Well, then, duh. You see, what a pitiful argument that is. I hear that quite often, too. Well, we're right. How come? Because there's a lot of us. Oh, well, there you go. Since that church over there has over a billion members, then they're more right than the true Christian church. Why? Because they got more members and they've been doing it longer. It's all meant to intimidate those soldiers into just being quiet and get out of the way, right? The Pharisees, Jesus already said it. You don't believe because you won't believe. You refuse to believe no matter what. You see, you refuse. But the soldiers are thinking, I don't know, it's kind of interesting. I might like to go back and listen. So you guys just get out of the way. Just intimidate them and make them feel not very smart. And Christian, sometimes you haven't studied your Bible much and you get around a non-believer or two or some other Christian trying to teach you a false doctrine and they're so good at what they do and you know you're not very smart, so they win. They intimidate you and you be quiet. You know what you need to do? Give them the word of God. Don't fight. Don't argue. Say, "Thus saith the Lord." And you say, "I don't know where it is." That's up to you to find out. You're going to have to do your study. You're going to have to get into the word, just like I have to do. You have to study it so that you can give an answer to every man that asks you. Now look at verse 50. This amazes me. Nicodemus, remember he came to Jesus at night in chapter 3? And he wanted to know how to get to heaven. And Jesus said, "You must be born again." He didn't understand it, speaking spiritually and all. Nicodemus said to them, he that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, he's part of the Sanhedrin, Pharisees and Sadducees. He says, "Does our law judge any man before it listens to him, before we hear him and know what he does?" They answered and said to him, "Are you also of Galilee?" That's a slap in the face. Yeah. Jesus comes from Galilee, and nothing good can come from up there. Are you one of those Galilean losers too? I mean, that's designed to shut him up right there in the council room. Search and look. Out of Galilee arises no prophet. And every man went home. Okay, they were done, and they broke up the meeting and went home. Nobody arrested Jesus, though. These are the Bible scholars. They're the one, and they just mock the soldiers because soldiers don't know the word. We know what we're talking about. If he was the Messiah, we'd believe in him. He's not the Messiah because nothing is right. The idea is, the language carries this idea. Why are you all so afraid of this guy? Why won't you sit and listen? Sanhedrin would have done really much better had they known the Word of God and studied it and really understood it.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.